Hello, and welcome to a KTOO radio special, Don Giovanni, the man, the legend, and the opera. I'm John Clow, a member of the KTOO Community Advisory Board and president of Juno Lyric Opera. Don Giovanni, the story of the notorious lover Don Juan, and one of the most famous operas of all time, is being presented here in Juno on April 24th and 25th by Juno Lyric Opera. After two performances in Juno, the cast, crew, and set will all travel to Sitka, where there will be two additional shows at the Sitka Performing Arts Center on May 1st and 2nd. As presented by director Paul Shipper of New York, the JLO production of Don Giovanni will be bold and edgy, with the original music of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart performed in a 21st century setting. Today we are going to explore the amazing story behind this production, learn a bit about opera, and just what it takes to present a first-class musical production in Southeast Alaska. This special is a joint production of KTOO and Juno Lyric Opera, with assistance from KCAW and Sitka, and is the product of Public Broadcasting's ongoing commitment to the arts in Alaska. We are excited that the special is being broadcast in both Juno and Sitka. So let's start off by listening to a few measures of Mozart's unparalleled music, and then talk with Paul Shipper, the man who envisioned this 21st century portrayal of Don Juan, and who has directed over 30 operas in New York and other locales all across the nation. Hi, and welcome back to KTOO. We're here tonight to learn the story behind the opera of Don Giovanni. And with me here in the KTOO studio, I'm very happy to have Paul Shipper and Todd Hunt. Paul is the director for the show. Paul, welcome to Juno.
Thank you very much, John.
And Todd Hunt's a name very familiar to people here in Juno. How are you doing, Todd?
I'm doing pretty well. Thanks, John.
Paul, geez, you're a Grammy-nominated singer and opera director. What brings you to Juno to do Don Giovanni?
The truth of the matter is that I came here 10 years ago for the first time to do Barber of Seville under Todd's baton, and had such a good time that I've been coming back ever since. This is actually going to be my fifth production as a singer, second as a director, and my seventh or eighth visit in 10 years.
And you directed before, I think, working with Todd on a joint production by Opera To Go and Juno Lyric Opera a few years ago. Which opera was that?
Correct. That was The Marriage of Figaro, also by Mozart, which was the opera right before he wrote Don Giovanni.
Well, Todd, you're here tonight working with Juno Lyric Opera, wearing another hat for you. What's exciting to you about working on this show?
Well, I got to say, the first thing that is most exciting for me is just working on a piece by Mozart. Mozart's one of those composers who we think maybe he gets played too much or whatever, but not really. Once you really get into that music, it is completely sublime and perfect in every way. So that's the first most interesting thing for me. Another interesting thing might be how we're treating this production, which is I've done Don Giovanni a few times before, but never in this sort of way. So I'm very excited about that.
Well, you know, Don Giovanni is such an amazing story. We're talking about Don Juan, the man supposedly with 1,000 conquests. But here it's in an opera, and Mozart wrote an entire opera devoted to Don Juan. You know, I've got this question for you guys, you know, why opera? Why does it work so well for a story like this? What can you tell me?
There's a long tradition of musicals, ballets, music theater starting in the 17th century based on the story of Don Juan, which was originally actually a play by Tirso de Molina. And he wrote this play called El Burlador de Sevilla y Convidado de Biedra, which is the prankster of Seville and his stone guest. And those two characters really carry over into Mozart's Don Giovanni.
Now, you guys, in some of our discussions, I've heard about expressions like opera buffo and things like that. Can you explain to those of us who don't read opera history on a regular basis what this is about?
Well, it's like a buffo. It sounds like a buffoon, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a comic opera, something that's that fun, and there's lots of jokes and pranks and such. Opera seria, which sounds like serious, is sort of the opposite of that, and it's serious opera that's, you know, usually gods and kings and very noble kinds of characters portrayed on stage. Actually, with Don Giovanni, we have a bit of a mix, which is another thing that's really interesting about it.
Wow, so we've got to go both the drama and the fun and
that's
the
right.
Man with a Thousand Lovers.
Yes.
What and more could you ask for on stage here in Juno?
And we have both formulas working. In in the traditional opera seria, we have the drama moving along with the recitatives, and then the arias stop everything. They just the drama comes to a standstill, and we get one emotion or one mood beautifully and virtuosically sung by a castrato or a soprano or a tenor. Then when we have the opera buffa, both the arias and the recitatives propel the story along. We also have the beginning of the ensemble finale, something of which Mozart was the absolute master of. In each act, there's a finale with 5, 6, 7, 8 characters all singing at the same time. A lot of basses, a couple of tenors, and then bunches of sopranos. And that excitement is something that came out of the buffa world.
Well, so those arias really truly are showstoppers, and I guess that's where the whole concept of a showstopping song comes from.
That's exactly right.
We're going to listen to just a little bit of Don Giovanni now, and then I'm going to come back and talk to more with Paul about the history of this story and the man behind the legend. Back here in the studio with Paul Shipper, the director of Don Giovanni, which is, of course, Italian for Don Juan. Paul, tell us about Don Juan the Man.
Well, Don Juan the Man is a fictional character, of course. It started with Spanish plays. He's a Spanish man, and moved on to French and Italian operas. There were several operas based on the Don Juan story before Mozart. Probably the most, well, there's also a Gluck ballet, which is rather well known, and especially Il Convidato di Pietra, ossia Il Dissoluto by Vincenzo Righini. And that was performed in Vienna and Prague in 1777, just 10 years before Mozart's version.
So and he's been on the stage for centuries now.
He's been on the stage for a century and a half before Mozart.
But who is the man himself who's strutting his brief moments upon the stage? Who is this Don Juan guy? Describe him to us.
The world's self-described greatest lover. Of course, we don't really know how successful he was because we don't know his percentages. However, by reputation and by admission of several people, mostly women, he was quite successful. In the stories, he always has lovers in the four figures. It has nothing to do with how they looked. It's meaning over 1,000.
The Wilt Chamberlain of his day.
The Wilt Chamberlain of his day, exactly. Probably not as tall. But in the Mozart, he has 1,003 conquests in Spain alone. And then, of course, there's France, Italy, and even Germany, and even Turkey. And
that's the
first
time.
He did road trips. But in the Mozart operas, the first time that Turkey is ever mentioned as being on the agenda of Don Juan.
And literally, this character, this is where the expression we all use today, he's a Don Juan. This is where it comes from,
That's
right?
where it comes from.
Do we have any idea what attracted Mozart to this story?
Actually, it was Da Ponte, his librettist, who was attracted to the story. Mozart, after his great success of Marriage of Figaro in Prague, asked Da Ponte to write another libretto for him because the impresario of the Prague opera asked him to do another one rather quickly. Mozart went back to Vienna, contacted Da Ponte and said, let's do another one. And Da Ponte had just been working on a libretto for the Don Juan story, and that's how it came about.
Wow, so it really is a team effort.
Totally
there.
A team effort.
Now, I know this is a famous opera. Where has this been performed around the world over the centuries?
I would say everywhere. In the 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st centuries, it's been in every major opera house and probably most of the minor ones as well.
In your view, as a director and someone who's also performed in this opera as well, what do you think is like the most famous moment on the stage?
I think for both the opera-loving public and those who know not so much about opera, I think it's when the stone guest or the statue of Il Commendatore comes back to life and has been invited to dinner by Don Juan and actually shows up and sings, Don Giovanni, I've come to accept your invitation to dinner.
And that's a pretty dramatic.
Very, very dramatic.
Opera seria.
It's definitely an opera seria moment. But what's interesting about this is also the orchestration. Todd will talk a little more about this, but I think the orchestration, the colors of the orchestra really inform the staging and the direction that you want to take. And here, three trombones for the really the only time in this opera. In fact, Mozart specifically ordered trombone players in Prague.
Wow. Well, let's listen to just a little bit of that scene, and then we'll come back with Todd and talk to him more about the man behind the music, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. Welcome back to our special on Don Giovanni, the man, the legend of the opera, brought to you by Juno Lyric Opera and KTOO. I'm here with Todd Hunt, who's the music director of this opera, which will be appearing here in Juno on April 24th and April 25th at the Jack. First of all, Todd, tell us what a music director does in an opera. How do you interface with a director and sort of what's your job in this?
Yeah, well, with opera, as you might guess, there's a whole lot of singing going on and a whole lot of instruments playing and everything. So the director's job, of course, is to manage everything that you see. And I guess the music director's job is to manage everything you hear. And that's maybe an easy way to differentiate the two roles. So I deal with the orchestra, the solo singers, and the chorus, and any other sounds that might happen in relation to the drama happening in the opera.
Well, obviously the way you describe it and the way Paul was described earlier, the interface between Paul as the director and you, the music director, to have the same vision and the same sound to the show must be really important. How do you accomplish that when he's in New York and you're in Juno?
The magic of email.
Really?
Yeah. No, actually, yeah, we've been talking about this production for quite a while, and Paul originally had the idea of how he wanted to do the show, and I thought, wow, this is really interesting. And so then I start coming up with ideas on how to make that happen or maybe make suggestions on how other things go. So it's a bit of a collaboration, although really Paul deals with everything you see.
So, now, have you worked on Don Giovanni before, or is this the first time with this opera?
No, this is my third Don Giovanni.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did it once in grad school, and then, once here, maybe 10 years ago, something like that. Yeah.
Right, it has been a while now, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a while. It's time to do it again. And with these wonderful pieces, if you live in the big city or whatever, you could probably go see a live Don Giovanni in a year. But here, we have a big rotation, so 10 years is probably just about right.
Now, of course, here, the composer of this beautiful opera, the music that just catches our hearts and our ears, is Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. Mm-hmm. And so many of us really all we know about Mozart is maybe we saw Amadeus, the movie, years ago. But tell us something about Wolfgang Mozart.
Yeah, well, you know, the movie Amadeus was based on a play meant for entertainment. And while, yes, it's roughly about who he was and everything, there's a lot of over-traumatization of events of his life, especially his death.
Was he truly a child prodigy?
Oh, yeah. No, he and his father toured all over Europe, and it's how he made his early reputation. And he was fantastic at playing keyboard instruments and violin, and so people loved him. And of course, just like child stars now, they're a big hit and then they tend to fade away. And he had a little bit of that, which is really odd, especially considering his reputation now, which is that of something above human.
Now, you mentioned him playing keyboard instruments. They didn't have pianos yet then in his day, did they?
They did. No, sure they did.
But did he write this for piano or harpsichord?
He wrote it he was writing for piano. So he actually wrote, 24 piano concertos that were actually written for piano. Now, this isn't exactly the same kind of instrument we have today. That earlier piano doesn't quite have the dynamic range, and it has a little bit more of a gentler sound. But the harpsichord was definitely on its way out. Usually you'll hear, or not usually, but sometimes you'll hear harpsichord in the pit accompanying the recitatives. In other words, those bits of the show that really move the drama forward, because it's basically speech in music.
So our pianist is going to be really important for your production. Who's going to fulfill that role in Don Giovanni?
So that is Jamila Halashwe, who's going to be playing piano, although I am going to be playing the recitatives.
Oh, wow.
On harpsichord.
Now, where's Jamila from?
She's from Fairbanks right now, but she's originally from Prague.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh. Yeah, which maybe makes a nice little tie-in to the original production of Don Giovanni way back when.
Well, do you have a moment in the opera that you think just has a really cool musical sound to it?
Oh, gosh. Oh, okay. So there's if you want the cool musical sound, we kind of already talked about, you know, when the stone guest arrives and you have the trombones entering, you know, for the first time, which is, we don't think of trombones as being all that really interesting or different right now, but back then, they were used very sparingly and only at moments of high drama or something supernatural or very special. So that happened.
So this is like special effects, vintage 18th century.
Yeah. And, you know, you've got at that moment, you've also got the strings kind of, you know, going up and snaking up and down with the basses and the cellos, sort of this like big footsteps coming through. It's really wonderful. And you sort of, you think of maybe typical Mozart, and it's not like that. And there is no typical Mozart, of course, but what we might think of is sort of light and happy, frolicky music, where is very serious stuff.
And we've got another moment I think we're going to play a little bit for the audience. Can you describe that one for us?
So at the beginning of the opera, Donna Anna has just been, taken advantage of by Don Juan or Don Giovanni.
One of the thousands.
Just another check mark in the book. Her father's killed and her lover Don Ottavio is coming to comfort her, and so she is just out of her mind with grief.
Wow. Yeah. Well, let's take a listen, and then we'll be back with Kristen Miller, who has produced this unique production, which will be appearing not only in Juno but also in Sitka as well. And we're back again here at KTO with Don Giovanni, the man, the legend, the opera. I have with me here in the studio Kristen Miller, who in her day job is a lawyer, which I used to be too, emphasis on the used to be, but by her night job is a member of the board of directors of Juno Lyric Opera and the producer of this fantastic production. Kristen, welcome to our show.
Thanks, John. Happy to be here.
Let's start off. Can you tell people what a producer does?
That's a good question. You and I actually talked about this the other day when we were in Sitka, and I think you summed it up perfectly when you said, a producer makes it happen. So back in, I think it was 2007, another local lawyer who we work with, Dan Wayne, asked me if I would be willing to co-produce Puccini's Tosca. And I was incredibly intimidated by the task of producing or even co-producing an opera because I had no idea what that meant. And although by then I'd been married to a surgeon who also sings opera in his spare time for
Yes,
Dr. David Miller, for about 7 years, I really didn't know what producing means. So what I realized very quickly is that the producer is involved in every little step of what it takes to bring an opera to the stage. The process begins with a decision on which opera to produce and when. And in my experience, those two decisions are integrally related to two other major considerations, which are who's going to direct and do we have the singers we need to be able to put the production together in Southeast Alaska.
Well, let's break that down a little bit. Paul Shipper, director, Todd Hunt, music director. You're the producer. You make the call on who you're going to get in those roles. What's the why'd you choose these two guys?
Because they're
and
the
by
best.
By the way, people should know Paul is sitting here in the room right now.
Well, you know, honestly, this is the third time I've worked with both of them on as producer. And I can't think of a better duo to bring these operas to the stage. They just are easy to work with. They're dynamic. They're fun. They're brilliant. They know the background of these operas very, very well. And to collaborate with them is... it's the reason I do it. It's certainly not for the money.
Well, yeah, we know that. Now, this opera has – this production has a very unique challenge in that it's being performed on two consecutive weekends in two different cities that are 100 miles apart with two very different locales. Talk to us about that a little bit and how you put together a show for one that's going to appear in the Jack on Friday the 24th and a week later is going to appear at the on the big stage over in Sitka.
Sure. That actually was one of the really intimidating things about co-producing Tosca is we took Tosca to Sitka. And at that time, I thought, how the heck are we going to do this? We have to take a group of roughly 40 people, singers, instrumentalists, sets, pieces, and pile everybody on a ferry and go over and perform in a venue over there, which is similar enough to the venue in Juneau so that you don't have to restage everything. And we were able to pull it off thanks to a lot of hard work and a lot of donations. And once we did it once, I thought, why can't we do it again? So several years later, we looked at doing another opera as a collaboration with Paul and Todd and going to Sitka as well. And on that occasion, it was The Marriage of Figaro. And by that time, the Sitka community had come together and built this incredible state-of-the-art performing arts center, and we were able to bring our production over there and be the very first opera to ever be performed in that venue. And it was just tremendously well-received and an awful lot of fun to do.
And Don Giovanni, as I understand, will be the second opera performed over there. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Now, I'm going to ask you to switch hats. Put on your Juno Lyric Opera board member hat for a second. Why would JLO want to put on a show in Sitka?
Well, I think it's really fun to work together as we're all part of Southeast Alaska. We're a huge draw for outside singers and outside talent because of just the incredible beauty that is Alaska. And we have found that every time we've brought a production over there, and I say every time because in addition to these three operas that we've done as collaborations with JLO, Opera to Go has brought some productions over there as well, and our Juno Lyric Opera brought the three tenors over there.
Right.
This is a long-standing relationship that just keeps getting better and better and more solid, and so it's mutually beneficial to both communities. We're able to obtain grant money. We've been able to get Harper touring grants on several occasions through what used to be the Rasmussen Foundation and is now, I think, the Alaska Center
Something
for
like
the Arts,
right.
on the Arts.
And they are fantastic.
They are fantastic. And so the more we do this, the more interest we seem to have in both communities to keep doing it.
So I'm going to ask you to put on yet a third hat, because in addition to being a member of the Juno Lyric Opera Board and to being the producer of this show, you are married to one of the principals, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
What's it like being married to someone who is in the throes of getting ready to be in an opera where the cast only gets to practice, rehearse all together for like 5 days before they open?
Well, it's a lot of fun. I mean, all things considered, it is more fun than anything else, but it is utter chaos. We also house a lot of artists in our home, and so at any given time, we can have up to three or four guest artists in addition to ourselves. And
so really, it's a pretty all-consuming effort.
Very all-consuming, but really very interesting, and I love it. I mean, to have people in my home singing at the level that these people sing constantly, it's amazing.
That's
special. I'm fortunate, very fortunate.
Now, David is Leporello. Who is Leporello and Don Giovanni?
Leporello is Don Giovanni's loyal servant who has the rather daunting task of cataloging every single conquest that Don Giovanni has made throughout the world.
Oh,
and
my.
As Paul and Todd mentioned earlier, Don Giovanni had 1,003 just in Spain. So Leporello's job is to basically cover for Don Giovanni, to keep track of Don Giovanni's conquests, and also to protect Don Giovanni whenever possible from the scorn of the women that are not very happy with Don Giovanni after he's had his way.
So it sounds like he's the list maker and the risk taker.
Absolutely.
Now, Kristen, as producer, one of your jobs is to pull together the funding for a production like this. How do you do it? How do you fund an opera that's going to be in both Juno and Sitka?
Well, actually, you have to find a whole lot of different funding sources. Ticket sales are always a big part of it. Grants are a big part of it. But fortunately, we have a lot of patrons who are willing to provide often very significant contributions. This year, we had an enormous contribution from Dr. and Mrs. Bob Hunter in Sitka. We had another really nice contribution from Kari Lundgren in Sitka, who's also our on-the-ground coordinator for all of our travel needs. We have, of course, John and Marion Clow. We have lots of people who come to our annual gala. And we usually feature one opera as part of the gala, and in this case, it will be Don Giovanni, and we tend to raise a lot of money that way. So we get the word out, and people come and donate heavily.
Well, speaking about getting the word out and ticket sales, how does someone go about buying tickets for Don Giovanni?
Tickets are on sale on our website, junoopera.org. They'll be available at Hearthside Books in Juno and at the bookstores in Sitka and, of course, at the Jack.
Right. And again, that's going to be on April 24th and April 25th. And buy your tickets now because the sales are going quite well. We'll be back and after listening to this music from Leporello.
Madamina, il catalogo è questo, delle belle che amo il padron mio. Un catalogo che ho fatto io, osservate, leggete con me. Osservate, leggete con me. In Italia 640.
Back here again at KTOO, this time talking more with Paul Shipper, the director of Don Giovanni, which Juno Lyric Opera is bringing here to Juno at the Jack on April 24th and April 25th. Paul, what made you in your gut want to do this particular show? What made you want to do Don Giovanni on the stage?
John, I've actually directed quite a few operas at this point in my life, probably about 30. And I've been thinking about Don Giovanni for about 20 years and
Whoa.
Have never directed it before. In this recent incarnation of my directing, I've been thinking about this production for about 2 years. And bringing it to Juno and Sitka is an absolute thrill. Once again, to work with Kristen as the producer and Todd Hunt as the music director and conductor is a fantastic thing for me and takes all the pressure off so that I know I can really concentrate on staging this production and don't have to worry about anything else.
Well, every director I've ever worked with, whether it's been on a musical, a stage play, or now an opera, I mean, has had his or her vision of the show. And that's really what the whole story that we see evolve in front of us comes from. It's from that vision. What is your unique vision of this show?
Well, to tell you the truth, I've had many visions of this opera over the years. And my specific vision this time is for Juno, for Southeast Alaska, and for Sitka. Bringing it into the 21st century, having a contemporary staging of it without any modern baloney, without changing the opera itself. Sometimes you see productions where it's just not what's in the stage directions. It's not what's in the music. One of the brilliant things about Mozart is the music informs the action. You can really tell the mood and also where people need to go and when they need to go.
So we're going to hear Mozart's original 18th century music, but set really in the 21st century. Is that what's going to happen here?
Correct.
Wow, sounds pretty edgy.
It is a little edgy. Again, I'm not going to make it too crazy. It's going to be normal, just set in contemporary life. It's interesting that in the original there are swords and guns. In our case, there won't be any swords. There won't be any capes. There won't be any cloaks. There won't be things that you associate with an 18th century costume drama. So that's all changed. But really, there's very little else in terms of changing or adapting from the original.
Well, looking at the posters that I've seen around town and actually also around in Sitka as well, one thing I know hasn't changed is that in this show, someone is going to hell. What's this about?
That is correct. Well, I have to say, give a little warning here. This is what happens at the end of the opera.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Don Giovanni goes to hell. He is dragged, sent to hell by the stone guest, the statue of the commendatore who is killed by Don Giovanni in the opening scene and dragged down by demons to extremely dramatic music.
Wow, it does sound pretty dramatic, and I'll be looking forward to seeing how that's staged in two very different venues, which brings me this idea. How do you go about as a director? You've got – let me see if I'm right. You've got cast members from Baltimore, Seattle, Fairbanks, Juneau, some other places, Sitka, and yet you're only getting them all together for what, 5 or 6 days before you open here in Juneau?
5 days, correct.
How does you as a director make this all work in such a short period of time?
It's a challenge, but – I don't think that it's as big a challenge as it would be if I didn't have a fantastic cast, people who have done the opera before, who know their roles and are very clear on what they have to do. This, in my case, all I have to do is bring them together and make sure that they interact the way I'd like to see it and the way the music tells me they should. In terms of other things, it's really the technical part that's hard to bring together in 5 days. Fortunately, Brian Bembridge is just an absolute genius, and he will be able to set the scenery and the lighting to work in both places magnificently.
Sounds like a challenge for him too. And you have yet another personal challenge in this. We're listening to this marvelous baritone over the air here, and you are a Grammy-nominated singer. I believe you're appearing in this opera as well, aren't you?
That's true. I enjoy taking on a small role in each of the operas that I direct. In Marriage of Figaro, I did Antonio, the drunken gardener. In this case, I'm the commendatore just for a minute or so in the opening scene until I get murdered by Don Giovanni. And then I appear later as basically his ghost, the moving statue, the stone guest.
So let me get this right. You cast yourself. First of all, you are the director. And then the director said, I think I'll appear in the opening and I'll appear in the closing. And then I can just watch everybody in between.
That's not how it happened. Kristen said, you should be commendatore. And I said, okay.
Twisted your arm?
Not too hard. Yeah, it's something I've sung other roles. I haven't not ever sung this before. So I'm very pleased to be able to do that. But it is important that I can be watching most of the opera in rehearsals and only appear for a few minutes. Otherwise, it's just too difficult.
I would think you'd absolutely have to. I don't know how else you'd pull it off. Yeah,
I don't know either.
Now, what I would like to share some of the commendatore's music with our audience tonight. What would you like to have them hear and tell us what he's singing about?
Oh, I think we should continue with the final scene after the famous declamation, Don Giovanni, I have accepted your invitation to dinner. He then continues with saying, repent. No, you're not going to repent. All right, you're going to hell.
Well, let's listen to the commendatore in Don Giovanni, which will be appearing at the Jack on April 24th and April 25th.
Se tu mi piazza qualche ragazza, te con quella cerca menar, te con quella cerca menar, cerca menar, cerca menar, senza condotte d'arazzia, chi mi duetto, chi la follia, chi la le manna, pare malà, chi mi duetto, pare malà, chi la follia, pare malà, chi la le manna, pare malà, chi mi duetto, cantando dallo che canto con questa quella vuol voreggia la velita.
Okay, we have Brian Bebridge with us all the way from Chicago. Hello, Brian.
Hello.
Now, you are doing the set and lighting design for Don Giovanni, I hear, right?
That is correct, yes.
Now, can you tell people what the set designer and light designer does? You know, we see this magic of opera, but it's actually pretty technical, isn't it?
It is. I mean, you know, lighting, of course, is more technical than the scenic design. The scenic design tends to be a little more artistic. I mean, both take artistry, of course. But lighting is a little more practical in that, you know, you're more in touch with those things, whereas the set design, somebody builds it for you, you're doing drawings, and it heads off to a shop, and they construct it for you.
And you've done this for shows literally all across the country, haven't you?
I have. My first time in Alaska, though, so it's very exciting.
Now, I have heard a rumor that your connection with Alaska actually started in a bar called the Girl and Goat in Chicago. Can you verify that?
That is true. It's the Girl and the Goat is where I met. Yes, the artistic director and producer.
Tell us, we know there's going to be a contemporary staging of the Don Giovanni production. Give us some idea what to expect.
Well, I think we're trying to incorporate some projections. I think the costumes are going to be very modern. You know, it's going to be Seville of today and not of a period piece. So, I mean, it'll be exciting, I think, for the audience in that they can relate to it, you know, in an easy way. Where they'll recognize everything. There'll be some modern architecture, you know, the furniture. Everything they touch will be of this world of today. Oh, well, not of the Alaskan world, but of the Spanish world.
Now, obviously, for any type of production, there's got to be a vital interface between the director and, in your case, the set designer, technical director, lighting person. Since you guys aren't in the same place, how do you try and get the same vision going?
We're a little late in the process, but we're going to get there. We just did... I sent off a bunch of research images, and we're going to pick sort of from those images of what we love and then sort of rip off those for the set. But we do this all through the modern thing called Dropbox, which is sort of saved the theatrical world today, in that you don't have to send email after email after email. There's a place you can all go, sort of a little community, and look up images for research or what the set's really going to look like or drafting or all that stuff so that everybody can sort of come to home base, you know, and sort of head out from there.
Now, as I understand, obviously, this is Mozart's opera, and it's going to be sung in the original Italian, but we're going to have supertitles. Are you familiar with the supertitle process, and can you explain how that works from the audience's perspective?
Not having seen an opera up there, but at the Lyric or other companies I've worked at, you know, they will translate the Italian into English. Usually it's above the set, so that you can focus on the words. But what I find happens with most audiences, or what I do especially, is that, you know, you sort of watch for the first, you watch the first few, I don't know, maybe 15 minutes of those words as you're watching the play, and then, or the opera, and then I find that you just sort of meld with the opera, and you almost forget about the words because you just fall into the story, and it all starts making sense for you without the English.
That does sound pretty special. Now, you have a particular challenge in this case, Brian, because you're designing a single look, a single vision that's going to be performed in two very different venues, first at the Jack, our Performing Arts Center here in Juneau, which is, quite frankly, originally an old National Guard Armory, which been with a lot of work has been converted to theater and performing arts work, and then over at the Sitka Performing Arts Center, which is a true Broadway-class 600-seat beautiful theater. When you've got two such different venues to do the show in, how does that affect your work?
Well, I think ultimately, you know, I've done one other production like this a few years ago. It was this Agatha Christie sort of radio play production. There was video, and I did sets and lights as well, so I did all three for that. That happened to be like a height issue and a scale issue, so we actually made the same set that could get lower or taller. But overall, especially for lighting, I mean, I think the goal is always to give both audiences the same performance or the same look. Of course, you know, inventories are different and whatnot, but still, if you were to have seen the show in Clearwater or the show in Fort Lauderdale, I don't know that you would have noticed the difference. I think Fort Lauderdale was a little slicker, but overall, they both look beautiful and had the same look and feel for both productions. So that's the goal, to really give both audiences, you know, a really spectacular, beautiful production.
That sounds great to me. Now, obviously, every show's got its own, you know, moments that are more technically challenging from your perspective than others. What would you see as a set designer and lighting designer? What's the most technically biggest technical challenge for you in this production of Don Giovanni?
You know, I think it is sort of trying to figure out how to incorporate all the stuff we're trying to do with a limited budget. And I know that they're so good at it, so that's why, you know, they're really going to take care of me in this, and us in this production. So that's like the first, you know, challenge, I think. I don't know. I think someone dying on stage is always a challenge, whether it's in a play or an opera.
Well, and this is going to be your first trip to Alaska, as I understand it.
I am so very excited about that, yes. I just worked with an artistic director here in Chicago, Peter Paparelli, who used to run a theater company in Juneau. So he's sort of given me some pointers of what to do when I'm there.
Well, he is very well known to the people here in Juneau as the artistic director of Perseverance Theater here for many years. And, you know, you made a good connection there. Well, I can assure you, Brian, that people in both Sitka and in Juneau are looking forward to welcoming you up to our community and showing you around, and very excited to be seeing your work on the stage, what you create for us for Don Giovanni for both performances. Thanks for your time today, and we're going to listen to some more music now from Don Giovanni.
Thank you so much.
Now we're going to go over to the studios in KCAW in Sitka, where we have Rhiannon Guevin, who is going to be singing the character of Zerlina in Don Giovanni, and Sarah Laurie, who's the executive director of the Sitka Greater Arts Council. Welcome to our program.
Thank you, John.
Ladies, I'd like to start with Rhiannon, if I can. Rhiannon, how old are you? Tell the audience how old you are.
I'm 24 years old.
And you and I had the opportunity to meet last week. You're a lovely young woman who really loves opera. How did you fall in love with this medium?
It was kind of by accident. I grew up doing musical theater in Davis, California, and I decided to start taking voice lessons because I wanted to get bigger roles. And so I started to take voice lessons mostly focused on musical theater. And my voice teacher decided that I should do some Italian art songs, and I ended up loving that, and that was kind of my gateway into the world of opera, and ended up just being what I absolutely love to sing.
And so have you had opportunities to perform in other operas prior to this?
I have, yeah. I have a Bachelor's of Music in Vocal Performance from University of Puget Sound in Washington, and so I performed in some operas there and down in Houston, Texas, so yeah.
And how did you get involved in this production of Don Giovanni?
I am the program manager at the Sitka Fine Arts Camp, and the executive director there, Roger, had been in contact with Kristen about the production. I think you guys were looking into some venues down here, and he mentioned it to me, and I said, that sounds like something I'd be really interested in learning more about. So he passed my information on to Kristen, and we talked a little bit, and I sent over some video clips of me, and then it kind of blossomed from there.
Now, as I understand it, you never even had a chance to meet the director of the show until just a few days ago.
That's right, yeah, just over email. so, yeah, it was just through the video clips and my resume, and, yeah, so I just feel very fortunate that I was connected with them for this opportunity.
Now, we've heard from Paul and from some of the other members of the crew how literally this entire cast and crew won't be together for the first time until, I believe, it's just 5 days before your opening night on April 24th in Juneau. Obviously, you don't wait to rehearse until those last 5 days. What do you do all by yourself to rehearse and prepare yourself to be this major role in an opera that's going to have a full cast and crew?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've been doing a lot of prep, so for me, that involves listening to the music a lot and watching the opera, so I get the continuity, reading through the score, reading through the libretto. Nico Castel has a great translation, and also he's translated all of the Italian into International Phonetic Alphabet, which is basically a little language, I guess, that singers use to know how to pronounce words. And so going through the script and writing in the IPA, writing in the word-for-word translation, I've been transcribing all of my recitative, and so that I can practice speaking the Italian, and then adding the music, and then just really practicing and practicing and practicing until it's comfortable and memorized and ready to go.
Now, whenever you think opera, at least I always think of costumes as well. But this is a different opera because it's going to be basically in 21st century Seville. What do you know about your costuming?
I only know a little bit so far. I met with Paul last week, which was great, and he talked a little bit about the staging, which is going to be a modern staging, as you said. And the way that he described it to me was Jersey Shore-esque. So I think it's going to be a lot of big hair and fun clothing, lots of makeup. So it should be really a fun and unique take on this production. I'm really excited about it.
Well, your character certainly has a fun and unique name, Zerlina. Tell us something about Zerlina.
Yeah, Zerlina is a really interesting character. And one of the things I like about the character is that she can be played in very different ways depending on the staging and kind of everyone in the production's idea of who she is. Sometimes she's played more as kind of an innocent, wide-eyed girl who gets seduced and kind of taken over by Don Giovanni, and other times she's definitely played as more of a, like she knows what's going on, and she may act innocent, but it's definitely an act. And
she's been around the block.
Right. and so, yeah, she's an interesting character. She goes through a lot of different up and down arcs throughout the show, so I'm really excited to get to play her and try to make her a sympathetic character, but also, you know, interesting and intriguing. So that'll be fun.
Well, another thing that's very exciting, I think, to us, as we've learned in this show, is that you're one of the principals that's from Southeast Alaska. You're from Sitka, and, of course, David Miller from over here in Juneau. But your other principals are from Boston, from Los Angeles, from Seattle, really from all over. That's have you had a chance to work with a cast of this level before?
This is my first professional production. Every other production that I've done has been part of an educational environment, so either at University of Puget Sound or down at Morris School of Music in Houston, Texas. So, yeah, this will be kind of a new and exciting experience for me. Definitely the only being together with the cast 5 days before the performance and, you know, coming in fully memorized and ready to go is going to be nerve-wracking but really exciting. And, yeah, I'm really looking forward to meeting everyone and working with them, and they all just sound amazing. So,
will this be your first performance in Juneau?
It will be, yeah. I only actually went to Juneau for the first time in September of last year, so I'm excited to get to spend a little more time there and explore the city. I just loved it when I was there. So.
Well, we're excited to see you on the stage, but one of the great things about Don Giovanni, it's being performed not just on the stage at the Jack here in Juneau, but also on that incredible stage at the Sitka Performing Arts Center. Sarah, for those people in Juneau that may not have ever seen the Sitka Performing Arts Center, can you try and give them some idea of what it's like?
Yes, I can, yes. And first of all, John, just let me thank you for including the Arts Council in this really exciting collaboration. The Performing Arts Center, it is a state-of-the-art facility, completely modern. It has every bells and whistles you could ever hope for, and that's not just sort of in the perspective of a little town in Southeast Alaska. That is like a nationally recognized theater. It's beautiful, and it's just, from everyone who comes here, it's just a joy to perform in.
And having stood on that stage just last week for the first time, it is – you literally feel you're like on something in New York or Chicago. It is a stunning venue. This is, of course, a collaborative program and has been right from the start. Tell us something about, from your perspective of your organization, about how this collaboration works.
So the Arts Council is a sort of grassroots community organization with a very similar mission to the Sitka Fine Arts Camp and the Juno Lyric Opera. I mean, we want to bring exciting and interesting programs to our community to enrich the community, and arts contribute to that greatly. So from our perspective, anything we can do to collaborate with you and just assist or, come together and work towards larger goals, I think it's beneficial not only for, the people who live in our communities, but also for our organizations, too.
I could certainly only agree with you on that. And one of the things we're doing to people here in Juneau is encourage them to consider, hey, think about going over to Sitka for a show or a performance, because you are so close, relatively speaking, and you've got some exciting things happening over there. What's on the calendar in Sitka in the months or weeks to come?
Yeah, thanks for asking me that. I'd love to encourage more cross-pollination, Sitka is a small place, and I'd love to encourage people from Juneau and even from down in Seattle to come up and see what we have to offer, and then, hopefully it would go both ways. Coming up, the Arts Council has some really exciting things. We have, on April 17th, we have our Sitka version of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and that was a huge success last year. Sold out. It's very funny. You don't need to be from Sitka to understand, to get, the jokes and the humor. That's a wonderful show and promises to be so again.
Ladies, thank you both for taking the time to come in today, and we're going to wrap up this little segment with a bit of one of Rhiannon's lovely arias that she will be singing as Zerlina. Okay, we're back in the KTOO studios now, again with Kristen Miller and Scarlett Adam, both members of the board of directors of Juno Lyric Opera and both very involved in JLO events. Kristen, we just heard from Rhiannon a few moments ago over in Sitka, but we've got cast members from literally all over the country in the show. Tell us about that.
We do. Our Don Giovanni is Roberto Perales Gomez, who hails from Los Angeles. We have Tess Altaveros and Alexa Jarvis, who are playing Donna Anna and Donna Elvira, respectively. They are both from Seattle. We've got Paul Shipper, our director and commendatore, from New York City. Brody Del Baccaro from Baltimore. And then Juno's own Dr. David Miller as Leporello and Mark Calvert as Don Ottavio.
So we really do have quite a mix of cast members from not just Juno and Southeast Alaska, but all over the nation for this one.
We absolutely do, and they are top notch. These are the kind of performers who can show up off book and put this entire production together, staged in 6 days, because that's how much time we have.
Now, it's going to be exciting to have such a great group of singers from outside coming to Juno and to Sitka. Is there any place else in Juno that people will be able to hear them performing before the opera debuts on the 24th of April?
Yes, they are actually all going to be performing, or nearly all, on Friday, April 17th at our 8th annual JLO Spring Gala.
Scarlett, I know you've been pretty involved in the Spring Gala. Can you tell people what that is and how they could go?
Oh, we are so excited about this year's gala. As Kristen said, we have an amazing lineup of singers, so the night is going to be incredibly exciting. April 17th, you can get your tickets from any of the board members in the usual places, Vendini Online. We're going to have a wonderful dessert auction. There will be, again, lots of singing, a glorious night at Centennial Hall. It's not to be missed this year.
And this is the kickoff to a pretty special season for JLO. What's that?
Oh, it's our 40th season. 40 years we've been at it.
And so I guess you've been performing since really the opening act.
Yeah, John. Oh, oh, you're in trouble.
But seriously, it has been 40 years for Junior Lyric Opera, quite a special season for them to celebrate. And we hope folks will be able to come out to the gala on the 17th. And Kristen, one last chance for you to tell people how to buy tickets for Don Giovanni, both for the shows in Juneau and the shows in Sitka.
Absolutely. So tickets will be available through our website, juneauopera.org, through the Jack website, which uses the distributor Vendini, at local bookstores in Juneau and in Sitka, and at the door for both events.
Hi, this is Scarlett Adam, Vice President of Juneau Lyric Opera. JLO would like to thank K2 for providing this opportunity to share with you this insider's look at our upcoming production of Don Giovanni. Juneau is proud to have an amazing array of committed, top-quality performing arts organizations. All of us appreciate the continuing support the arts have received from K2, KRNN, KXLL, and their Coast Alaska partner in Sitka, KCAW. We'd also like to thank the many, many residents of Juneau and all Southeast who have contributed so much of their time, effort, and financial support to Juneau Lyric Opera throughout its 40-year history. We could not have done it without you.
This is John Clow, and I'd like to bring our program to a close by joining Scarlett in thanking K2 and especially the Community Advisory Board on providing Juneau Lyric Opera with this unique opportunity to try and show you just what it takes to put together a major production here in Juneau. It's not magic, although sometimes if we do it right, it seems to come across that way. Instead, it takes a lot of work from a lot of people, in this case, literally folks all across the country. Also like to thank KCAW, who provided their facilities for the Sitka interviews we did and who is also rebroadcasting this program to the folks in Sitka. Hello to all of you over there. I'd really like to see all of you at our performances of Don Giovanni at the Jack on April 24th and 25th and at the Sitka Performing Arts Center on May 1st and 2nd. Hey, if you want a fun weekend, take your friend or significant other or your spouse over to Sitka, see it in that beautiful, beautiful Performing Arts Center they have there, or see it right here in the Jack. It's going to be a special night with special people and a special story. Thank you again, and we're going to finish up by more music from Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart and Don Giovanni.